Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York City, and I'm sitting here on my bright red desk looking out at a kind of rainy day. Rained. It was really gorgeous earlier. Now it's raining. This is the week of October 2nd, 2011. How is it possible that it can be October? I feel like September just disappeared. It's like gone, and I don't know what happened to it. I feel like we should send out an all points bulletin saying, September, where are you? How did you go away so fast? What we do on the show every week is we talk about the weather, what's going on in the heavens, what it feels like energetically, how you can work with it productively, the idea being that the heavens above describe what we're going to be experiencing, seeing, relating to, connecting with here down on Earth below. A lot of people go, planets cause things. I'm like, I don't know if they cause things, but they make us reflect on their energy. So we have things happen, and we notice them, and we go, wow, what was that about? And so it's always really instructive, you know, that we live in an interconnected universe that talks to us all the time. So I was talking to a client earlier today, and he called, and his cell phone battery was uncharged. So he said, I can't talk to you on this phone. Let me hang up. Call me back on the next phone. So, this one's not battery charged either. Hung up. Picked up the third phone. All right, I'm going to plug it in. And then the phone went dead halfway through the reading. And one of the things he was having was needing to recharge his batteries. And he said, I'm feeling a little sick. I'm not feeling so great. And normally he's like a go, go, go kind of guy. And I'm like, well, on a symbolic level, three of your four phones, the batteries are dead on. You really do need to take care of yourself and kind of nurture yourself. Our universe constantly talks to us. Constantly. And if we pay attention to it, we get the messages. And on a bigger level, just on a symbolic level, when something happens, kind of go, wonder what that meant. And pay attention to it. Understand that on a cosmological level, we're all interconnected. We are tied to the seasons. We are tied to Mother Earth. We are tied to the ocean tides and the ebb and the flow of the daily light from our planet as the sun rises, culminates, and sets. And if we pay attention to those cycles, we can live in harmony with them, work with them productively, and use them to our greater life enhancement. And of course, if we struggle against them, it's kind of like when you're caught in a riptide. They always say, don't try swimming for shore. Let the riptide carry you. Swim sideways until you escape it. And then go to shore, or wait till it eases up, and then head back in. If we struggle against it, we can exhaust ourselves, we can tire ourselves out, we can have our batteries on our phones die so that we really do know that the world's trying to get us to be quiet, to sit down, to not talk to anybody and spend a quiet Sunday, laying on your couch reading a book. So today actually was a beautiful Sunday. It was October 2nd. This is the week of October 3rd. Through the end of the week, which is next week is Columbus Day weekend. Again, how did it get to be October? So we have a holiday next Monday, which is always a welcome little event in October. And we are currently in the process of working with some really interesting aspects in the heavens. One of the things somebody wrote me and kind of was concerned about, because I do, in addition to the radio show, I do a weekly weather report on my internet site, astroann.com, which you should be able to link to from Blog Talk Radio if you've never checked it. But I've been writing in my column that this period of time in October is very important, because what we're doing is we're setting the future sails for the next 29 years of your life. And so she wrote, well, how come this hasn't happened before? And I'm like, well, actually it has, but I probably never wrote about it. But I do this time for some reason. It feels very important to write to people and to say, hey, think about your choices. But yes, when Saturn passes through a patch of the sky, he passes through it every 29 years. And sometimes he goes retrograde and back and forth over a patch for about 9 months. And then there's other times where he just whips right through the sky and he makes decisions. Now remember, Saturn is the visible planet. It's the farthest out one that we can see with our own eye. He has rings around him. He is viewed as the Lord of Karma. He rules time. Chronos, his other name, is chronological. It's about age. It's about Chronos counting the time. So Saturn is a timekeeper in our lives. And actually, all the cycles are a timekeeper. You know, the sun rising and setting every day, that's a daily timekeeper. The moon changing in her sign, changing in her phase every month. The sun going, us going around the sun, causing the seasons every year. Saturn takes 29 years to go around the sun. So he takes 29 years to go around our chart, too. And right now, he's in the patch of space between 17 degrees of Libra and 22 degrees of Libra. So if you have any planets between 17 and 22, Saturn is talking to them. And he's having a very serious conversation with them right now. And he's saying to them, you need to decide between now and October, because then I'm done. And I'm getting in my car and I'm driving away for 29 years and I'm not coming back here. Last time I was here was 1981, 82, and then before that, 52, 53, and if we want to go even further back, 21, 22, but I'm gone. I'm out of here. Actually, not 21, 22, 24, 25. So it shows what happens when you do math in your head. So he's now traveling through this section of the sky, and he is saying to us, hey, little one down there, you on Earth, you better make some decisions. And you're making decisions in the Libra area of your life, the area where you partner and work with other people, the area where you're here to form relationships with others or with things. It can be with things. It doesn't have to be with people. But it's where you form relationships. It's where you interact with the world. It's where you look for equality. And so let's say you have Libra on the sixth house. You could look for equality in your workplace. If you have Libra on your 10th house, you could look for equality with your bosses. People protesting down on Wall Street looking for equality. It's very interesting because those protests have started. These are going to go on for a long time because they started with this little section of the sky that's going to say, I'm not going away until we get equal value, until we have some understanding of what went on. Libra wants balance, wants justice, wants what's right and wrong. Wants fairness, because Libra is about fairness. It also very often is our personal relationships. A lot of times when I'll be talking to someone and I'll say, oh, 81, 82, they all got married. Oh, that's when I committed to my career and I started my work as a da-da-da-da. Wherever we have this planet, we're now finishing up a 29-year cycle and starting a new 29-year cycle. Wherever we have that 17 to 22 degrees of Libra, and Saturn's going to go whipping through that sign. Now, when he gets to 22, he actually is going pretty fast right now. He's going to get all the way up to 29, but he's going to stop and turn around, and he's going to come back to 22, and he's going to say, oh, did you make a mistake? Were you not really sure? Okay, we can revise that, and he'll work with you until next fall on all the planets between 22 and 30, or zero Scorpio. He'll work with you on all those planets. But he is in the mood to make decisions now on the planets that you have between 17 and 22 Libra. He is saying to you, what do you want to do about this? And you, if you know you really don't want that anymore in your life, I don't want that, Saturn. If you know you really want that, like sometime in the next 30 years you want kids, you say to Saturn, you know, in 30 years, sometime in the next 30 years I'd like a couple of kids and maybe a house by the ocean and, you know, good health and, you know, whatever else you'd like. This is your time to kind of put down your stake in the ground and say, hey, you know, Saturn, I'm down here on Earth. I'm working really hard on my path, and this is what I would like. This is the week, this week, next week, the week after. You got four more weeks. You don't have to do it all now. 29 years does feel like a darn long time. Big commitment. All you commitment phobic people out there, you're all shaking in your boots. Well, just make a commitment for the next 7 years. Or maybe the next 14 years. You know, like down the road a piece, you'd like this. You don't have to make it tomorrow. But if you're dating somebody and you're kind of back and forth and you know they really aren't the one, cut them loose. this is their time to go and find a relationship too. And if you're not sure, you know, who you're with, and you know you don't want to be with that person, or you do know you want to be with that person, stand up and say, you know, I made a mistake. I realized I wasn't sure, and I kind of freaked out. And, you know, we've had some problems, but I really do realize I want to travel down the road of peace with you longer. And, again, you don't have to commit to 29 years, but let me tell you, it's very clarifying when I say to someone, their eyes get really big. I say, okay, you're making decisions for the next 29 years. Their eyes get real wide. Like, ooh, really? That's a long time. Yeah, you know? And you kind of go, okay, well, what do you want? I don't know. It's a long time to commit for. Or subset thereof. So add or subset thereof if you're having trouble. Some stuff you're really clear on. You know you want it. You know you know that's on your list of things to do. You know you want to go to Africa. You know you want to get a degree in social work. You know you want to get your book published. You know those things. Those are great. Those are the ones you know I'm committing to, and I'm committing to getting that accomplished. The other stuff, not so sure about. Put it in the pile to decide in October, in November, when Saturn goes back and forth. But the stuff you know, make the decision now. Give it permission. Give the universe permission to ground it and build on it. Jupiter's in Earth sign. He really is going to want to make things grow because he's in Taurus. So he's like, yeah, yeah. And both Jupiter and Saturn are being in signs ruled by Venus right now. They're both Libra-ruled signs, the beginning and the ending of the growing season. So we're ending a growing season, and we're starting a new 12-year growing season from Jupiter's perspective. So crystal clear, focus your attention, pay attention. You're really good. You're ready for this. No worries. And I know it feels a little intimidating, 29 years. So just break it to 7. Make it be for next year. But if you know you don't want it, get it out. Get it out of your life. Have it stop taking up room. Create extra room on your shelves for it because you're really ready. All right. So what do we have this week ahead of us? We have a lot of things, actually, very exciting things, truth be told, in our lovely little pass of Libra. What we have is the Sun moving forward from the degrees of 12 Libra to 16 Libra. So the Sun is coming right behind Saturn and lighting him up, okay? Now, Saturn has played in these degrees for the last year and a half. He got to 10 last October, and then he got all the way up to 17 in January, and then he stopped, and he went backwards to 10, and he parked at 10 May, June, July, and now he's going forward. So the Sun is coming through to light up the decisions that you've made since last fall. And it is talking to Neptune. It's talking to Admetos this week, and it's saying to Neptune and Admetos, we are making a decision here. So on the 5th and the 6th of this week, which is Wednesday and Thursday, the Sun forms a hammer of Thor in the sky with Admetos and Neptune. Now, what Admetos and Neptune are going to do is they're going to ask you to pick and end something, really. Admetos likes to end things. And Neptune says, I'm really ready to let that kind of drift off into the fog. And the Sun in Libra looks at it from his position at 12-13 Libra, and he says, yeah, you really are ready to let that go. You know, it's okay. Let that part go. Then the Sun comes and after you let it go, of course, you know, once you let something go, there's room for new things to come in. Right behind it, the Sun forms a sesquiquadrate to Chiron. You can have a little regret. You can go, man, I'm kind of sorry I let that one go. But forward you go. On the 9th, which is next Sunday, the Sun has a trine and a sextile to the nodes of fate. So you're going to pull in something on Sunday, based on, not always based on, but somehow related to the space you've created in your life. So new things coming in next Sunday. But a choice to release something on Wednesday, Thursday. Then we get into Mercury. Now, Mercury is really, really traveling fast. He is going from 13 degrees Libra all the way to 24, which means he's traveling at about 2 degrees a day. He's flying through the sky. So he's going from 13 to 24, bringing messages to any planet that you have in between those degrees. And first up, he squares Neptune on the 3rd. So he's kind of going, should I or shouldn't I? was that really ended? That really was ended. That relationship's really done, isn't it? Wow. But I saw it. I felt it. I connected with it. I related to it. I am done. Okay. So he makes that decision on Monday. And then he goes whipping through. He, of course, has aspects with the nodes because he's kind of following in the sun's path. He has aspects with the nodes on the 5th, so he connects to something really important. Gets some really interesting information on those days where he makes a decision. And then he goes forward, and on the 6th, he comes full tilt into Saturn. Okay, Saturn will be at 19 degrees when Mercury joins with him. So Mercury joins Saturn is a commitment to do something, or it's finalizing something, or it's writing something, or it's ending a writing project, or it's doing something with communications, perhaps changing how you talk or work with your siblings, changing how you talk or work in writing. So Mercury joined to Saturn is a communication aspect. Then he goes flying along, and he has a number of aspects this week. Most of them are pretty easy, meaning you're going to get a lot of information, none of it particularly hard, a lot of it inspirational, and you might not be able to do it all. So write it down. You know, you don't have to do everything tomorrow, but you do have to say, you know, eventually I want to get to that. So if the idea comes in your head, say, you know, I really want to get to that, and put it on the list of things you really want to do. And then forward you go. Venus, she's ruling through 22 to 0 Scorpio. Okay, so she enters Scorpio this week. Now, Venus in Scorpio is not a happy placement for her, but Venus in Libra is fun. And remember last year we had that 100 days of over-the-top Scorpio passion? You forgot, right? Well, remember all that Scorpio stuff? So after all her year of traveling through the sky, after she did her 100 days of Scorpio stuff, she's now about to start a new process of connecting with the heavens. And she did join with Saturn last week to start a new connection around communication, money, finances, and your value, or your relationships and how you're valued in them. And there were quite a few people last Thursday, Friday, that popped a relationship. You know, Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore popped. Their relationship popped. Do I think they're breaking up? Yes, I do. I think Ashton is going off to become the king. And when I pulled their charts, you know, popped on Venus Saturn, and of course that's love of an older woman. And, you know, they've made all that noise about her being a cougar. Of course, men do that, and nobody says a damn thing, but a girl does it, and, man, you never hear the end of it. But at any rate, Ashton has, for the last 30 years, he's a Gemini rising, as you might expect, with the trickster nature of himself and the frequent Twitter communications and all that stuff. So his seventh house ruler is Sagittarius, which is ruled by Jupiter. So Ashton's solar arc Jupiter, which is a predictive technique that, you know, if you go for an astrology reading, an astrologer will use when they're looking at your chart. Ashton's solar arc Jupiter migrated into Leo in June. Now, it's been 30 years in Cancer. And in June, it went into Leo, which is about when he got announced as being on that 2.5 Men's show. And it also is when he stopped being a Leo, a Jupiter in Cancer, for 30 years, that he's been for the 30 years. Now, Cancer, of course, is family and clan and mother and love and nurturing and all that. And one of the things that he had established when he and Demi were partners was a very big family collegial thing. She had her three kids from Bruce and his girlfriends, Demi and the kids, they all vacationed together. It was kind of one big happy clan. And Ashton was in the mix. Cancer, Jupiter and Cancer, the families, it's a big extended Cancerian family. Now his Jupiter is solar arced into Leo. We think Ashton's moving on. He's going to become the king of his own clan now. And so we'll see what happens. But it was announced on the Venus-Saturn where we made relationships decisions. So if you kind of matched Ashton and Demi, probably done, probably good for you to move on. It marks a karmic ending. It marks a time of leaving. And then this week the information is truly delivered when Mercury comes to Saturn. And he says, yes, that relationship was wonderful, but it is finished. And that's on October 6th. So last week was the Venus part. This week is the Mercury part. And Venus, of course, because she is moving forward, she is working with the ending of things, you know, because she ends stuff when she's in the back end of a sign. And so she's wrapping things up. And she also is going into Scorpio, where she's starting a whole new journey. Okay? So we're all looking at this Venus shifting energy. And we do know that when she goes from Libra into Scorpio, she goes from air sign into much more impassioned water stuff, into the dark water of Scorpio's swamp. And she gets real intense come around the 9th of October. Then we get to Mars. Mars is not moving that fast. He goes between 8 and 10 of Leo this week. So he's going to stimulate those. And what he does at the beginning of the week, he squares Jupiter. So it's highly productive, but a little bit dramatic, because Mars squared Jupiter can be dramatic, and Mars is in Leo, squaring Jupiter in Taurus, which is fixed Earth. So you can feel like you're really pushing and you're getting a lot accomplished, or you can feel really frustrated by someone who's not moving fast enough for you. That's the Jupiter in Taurus. So there's a very strong energy around what are we trying to accomplish here? What is Mars trying to do? And he's in Leo, so he's not horribly productive. He does want to play time as well as to work hard, so he's kind of back and forth in there. But he's pretty productive, and his aspect to Jupiter will last for a couple of days, so it will fuel us as he squares Jupiter. We also have Jupiter going. He's going between 8 and 7 of Taurus. Remember, Jupiter's going backwards in the sky. He's also squaring the house and home aspects on the 9th of October. So he's going to want to help you clean out your closets next weekend if you're doing your, or that'll be when everybody does their fall shift. Because, of course, when Venus goes into Scorpio, it's going to get cold. Then we go to Saturn. He's, again, moving slowly. He's at 19 most of this week. And he has his aspects to Mercury. And he is kind of, you know, going through the sky saying to you, what is your decision? So any planets at 18, 19, your 18 planets, he's rolling off, so they're going to be free to make the decision. 19 planets are thinking about what they want, the 19-degree planets. And then the rest of the guys are pretty quiet. We do have the nodes going red. Excuse me, stationing and going retrograde. We do have a gift of some kind of spirituality or some kind of wonderful encounter on October 8th when Neptune aspects the North Node by a quintile. And we also have just kind of an understanding of time this week because we're just going to be aware that time is passing because Cronos is stationing at 7 Cancer. And Cronos always reminds us that time is fleeting, time is short. And so we can expect to hear things about time this week, meaning the energy of time. Now, one of the things that we like to do with astrology is also to look at the closing aspects that the moon makes, because the moon in its sign rules the functioning of things. So today the moon's in Sagittarius, so it was kind of a busy, bustly, run around, do things kind of day. And, you know, I ran into a friend who I hadn't seen in a while who's a Sagittarius when I was coming home from Staples. Tomorrow, on Monday, the moon is in Capricorn. Capricorn is a serious moon. It's in Capricorn on the 3rd and the 4th. Excuse me. Then it goes void in the middle of the night, fortunately, on October 5th through the morning. So Wednesday, October 5th, the moon is in Aquarius at 11:18. But the moon in Capricorn has a square to Venus, so you can find that you're overspending, overbuying, overdoing. Monday is a really, really, really busy day because the moon makes a number of aspects. When she enters Capricorn, she hits that cardinal T-square that's breaking up that we keep talking about, and you're like, I'm so tired of that cardinal T-square. You and me both, babe. Mars squares Jupiter, which is kind of a overdoing aspect, but that's good because it gets a lot done. And then the moon goes through and squares Uranus in the morning. She argues with Pluto in the afternoon. She trines Jupiter at night, and then she squares the sun at 11:15 at night on Monday night. So she's a busy girl tomorrow. Tuesday, not so busy, but a little more argumentative or a little more difficult because the moon argues with Mercury and Saturn. So she's a little cranky crabby on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, we have the moon go into Aquarius. And it's productive, the productive aspect, because it has a sextile to Uranus around 3 in the afternoon. And Aquarian, of course, is always kind of big picture. It's not so hardworking and diligent and depressive as Capricorn moons are. So Aquarius moon lightens up on Wednesday. Thursday is Aquarius moon, but of course on Thursday is the day that Mercury meets Saturn, and we kind of go, oh yeah, we have to make a decision about that, don't we? Echoing the decision from last week when Venus met Saturn, and we heard about Demi and Ashton, and perhaps you had a relationship, make a transition in your life, or make a announcement in your life, or make a, oh, there's a problem here. Well, you're going to talk about it this week on the 6th. Be kind. Remember, Mercury is in the sign of Libra, and he really does want to work with Saturn. Mercury was joined to the Sun last week, so he really was thinking only what the Sun wanted. Now he's gotten a little bit of distance from the Sun, and he's a little more focused and a little clearer that, you know, maybe, you know, I really kind of can be nicer, can't I? Yeah, I probably can be. So, you know, you can also expect apologies on the 6th. On the 7th, the moon is also in Aquarius, going void at 6.09 p.m. and into Pisces at 9.17 p.m. So it's void for 3 hours Friday night, and the moon is really, really, really busy on Friday. So we can expect really, really busy days Monday and Friday, kind of stop-and-go day on Thursday, and average days Tuesday and Wednesday. Moon is in Pisces on the Saturday the 8th, which is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where people fast and forgive their sins and move on after their Jewish New Year from last week, which I completely forgot to acknowledge. Rosh Hashanah was last week on Thursday. And on Saturday the 8th of October, we have the moon sextiling Pluto and sextiling Jupiter, both of which are really productive aspects, and the moon's in Pisces, so he's really flowing, sextiling two really productive Earth planets who happen to be in trine to each other. Again, really productive time. And the 9th is, the moon is void all day long on the 9th, which is nice because we're on a holiday weekend. That's the day the moon, Venus goes into Scorpio. And then on the 10th, the moon goes into Aries, which is busy, and it's Columbus Day. It's also Thanksgiving Day in Canada. Happy Thanksgiving, Canadian friends. And we are then approaching the full moon in Aries, which is the next day on the 11th of October. So we're in this really fast-moving time. Mercury's flying. All the planets that are kind of happy are moving forward. Jupiter's going backwards, which he really doesn't mind that much because, you know, Jupiter's happy whatever he does. But Pluto's going forward, and Saturn's going forward, and Mars is going forward, and Mercury's going forward, and Venus is going forward, and the Sun is going forward. And, you know, you're going forward now. So it's your vision. What's your life want to be about? What do you really, really, really want in your heart? Remember, if it's in your heart, it's in your chart. It means I could find it if I looked at your chart and I said, see, right there, that's where it says you really want to be doing that, whatever it is, that you're having this little tiny wish pop up. Venus met Saturn last week. So last week there might have been a little discouragement of the wish, but it's in there. Doesn't have to be the form that you necessarily think of it as. But give it permission to kind of dance in front of you. And you know, now that she's leaving Saturn, she's getting ready to go into seductress mode when she hits Scorpio. Now that she's leaving Saturn, she's kind of in a mood to, yeah, come on. Don't you wanna? And yeah, you do wanna. So just, you know, give it, open up. Draw it on a piece of paper, write it in a little piece of paper and tuck it in something secret. Dream about it, doodle it, lay back on your couch and listen to your favorite music and imagine it. Talk to Saturn about it. The big guy is listening. He's paying attention. Mercury's talking to Saturn this week. So Mercury's bringing the messages to Saturn. So be very clear. Say, yeah, I really, 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 really want this. Or, you know, Saturn, I've had this for a really long time and I do love it. I did love it. It was so wonderful. But I think it's done. Or, you know, maybe we can box it up and put it on a shelf and I can review it in a while. Saturn's really good at keeping track of things like that. So you don't have to throw it away. You just kind of have to maybe move it over a little to the left and then start working on the right-hand side with the stuff you really want to kind of go towards. Because that's really where you want to go, isn't it? So finish things up, get them out the door, wrap them up, clip, clop, this week. And the stuff you don't want, say you don't want it. Release, release, move on, move on. Take care. The British Lady spoke. It's the end of the week. I'm Ann Orley. I'm an astrologer in New York, sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. If you want a reading, feel free to call. If you are right, well, actually, call is bad. Email. Email's better. Or just go online and book a reading at my website, astroann.com. And have a great time this week. It's a busy, busy, busy week. Take care. Bye.